In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and said with a loud voice, "What have you to do with us, to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" And after Jesus cast the demon out of him, all the people came, and they saw what had happened. They came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demon had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. Jesus said to the man, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." And he went away proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Like this man from whom the demon was cast, who now in tranquility and peace could sit at the feet of Jesus, we also proclaim, like he, how much Jesus has done for us. For a moment, stop, pause, and consider and ask yourself, how much has Jesus done for me? Ask yourself, what does Christ mean to me right now? And why am I sitting here in church listening to Jesus and sitting at his feet? Also, on this National Father's Day, consider all that your earthly father did for you as he modeled the love of the Heavenly Father. How much did your earthly father do for you? And you who are fathers, what does God expect of you as the head of your household? Along with this man from whom Jesus cast a whole legion of demons, we proclaim throughout the whole world how much Jesus has done for us. And we rejoice along with this man in the serenity of spirit, the rightness of mind and body and soul that Jesus has given us. So let's consider first, what does it mean then that for this man, for all the people around the Sea of Galilee, and for you and me, Jesus is the Son of the Most High God? Jesus was a man from the city of Nazareth in Galilee, which was not far from this spot on the Lake of Galilee. Jesus was true man, born of the Virgin Mary. His stepfather was Joseph, who was a carpenter, and Jesus was known as a true man, as a carpenter from Nazareth. As foretold by Isaiah 65 today, when the Lord would place his name upon his chosen one, his servant, he would come from the line of Jacob and from Judah, the line of David. But Jesus was not just true man, was he? Jesus was also the Son of the Most High God, true God along with the Father and the Holy Spirit. And Paul said in Galatians this morning, "In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law to redeem those who are under the law." God became human. Jesus took human flesh. This event happened in the country of the Gerasenes, which is on the eastern shore of the north shore of the Sea of Galilee. You can still visit this site today. They have located this exact spot. I've seen these tombs myself in the rocky ground on the east shore of the Lake of Galilee, and there's a beautiful church that was built there in the 400s. Christians have been here for hundreds and hundreds of years, remembering the event that happened at that spot along the lakeside. And this is what Jesus, the Son of the Most High God, did in power. There at that spot was a man who had a legion of demons, which means he had a lot of them. Now, a demon is an evil angel, a devil. They rebelled along with Satan in the original rebellion and were cast into hell. And Satan, who tempted Adam and Eve and brought sin and death into the world, and his demons still torment people today. This is the source of evil, is Satan and his minions. This is where it began. These devils torment this poor man. Consider the effect it had on him. He wore no clothes. He lived among the tombs. He cried out with a loud voice, and he'd be thrown down onto the ground, tormented. He was kept under guard, and even the chains that they put on him, he was strong enough to break them. And then the devils drove him out into the desert in absolute misery. The devils defile everything God has made, both man and beast. The devils want nothing else but to torment us and to drag us down into hell. But Jesus, the Son of the Most High God, speaks one word and commands the demons to come out, and they must obey. They are but creatures. He is God in human flesh, and he speaks the word, and the demons come out of the man. Jesus even speaks to the demons and asks them what their name is, and they say legion, which means there's a lot of them in this man. And then he gives them permission to go into the pigs, and they rush down into the lake and drown. Jesus, the Son of the Most High God, has come to defeat the devil, to defeat Satan. Every time Jesus taught the truth, recorded in the New Testament, he was driving out the devil, like he spoke the word of God against Satan into temptation in the wilderness, quoting the written word of God, which drove Satan away. Every miracle Jesus did, getting sight to the blind, was undoing the work of the devil and death. By Jesus' death, he defeated death. And in his resurrection, in the resurrection and the life that we find in him, ascended to the right hand of God, he is sitting at the right hand of God, interceding for us, so that we can have the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, to defeat the devil in the word of Christ. And when he returns in glory to take us to be with him in his kingdom, we will see publicly his complete defeat of Satan. In the word of God, the devil will flee from us. Like Martin Luther wrote in A Mighty Fortress, one little word can fell him. James says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Paul says, the sword of the Spirit is the word of God, by which we can fight back against the devil's temptations. As you look at your life, the temptations we experience come from three sources: the devil, the world around us, and our own sinful flesh. The word of Jesus, the Son of the Most High, gives us the ability to overcome these temptations by knowing the word of God, memorizing it, singing it, chanting it like we did this morning. And that word drives the devils out. Praise be to God. In Jesus, the Son of the Most High God, Satan has been defeated. Then we look at what happens in this beautiful picture for this man. Jesus, the Son of the Most High, restores this man to a right mind in one of the most beautiful pictures in the whole New Testament. The herdsmen and the people see what Jesus has done and they flee. They've lost all their pigs. The city and all the country people come out, all the people from the surrounding city, having seen the holiness of God. They are afraid, and they want Jesus to leave them. They are seized with fear, because having experienced this overwhelming work of the devil in their community, they didn't understand what they were experiencing. I've stood by this lake. I've seen the church that was built there and the rocky tombs that are still here today. And church history tells us that later on, this area of the Gerasenes became some of the earliest Christian congregations and churches. Powerfully, God would transform this whole area on the eastern side of the Sea of Galilee. and great congregations would spring forth. And the next time Jesus came, many people would come to believe, just like this man. And what a wonderful and marvelous scene that we have here. This man, who had to be restrained by chains, is now sitting at Jesus' feet, quietly and at peace, fully clothed in his right mind. This is what Jesus does. He drives out the devils and gives us serenity of spirit, peace of mind, calmness of heart, so that we can handle anything that comes upon us, because the Holy Spirit has been poured into our hearts, and Christ Jesus is our righteousness and strength. What a beautiful picture of all of us as Christians, sitting here today like this man, in right mind, at the feet of Jesus. For this man and for you and me, we proclaim to others the same proclamation as this man. He went everywhere and proclaimed how much Jesus had done for him. This man, unlike the people who were afraid of Jesus, he wasn't afraid of Jesus. He wanted to go everywhere with Jesus. He begged him, "No, I want to go everywhere with you," because Christ had set him free. But this was not to be. His vocation and calling was different. He was not to be one of the 12 apostles. Jesus told him to return to his home, to his family, his ordinary vocation and calling, and declare how much God had done for him. And he did it. He proclaimed to the whole city how much Jesus had done. He was the living voice of a man transformed. And think of the power this had on the people, the powerful effect this would have had on the people. They had seen him for years, like a maniac screaming and yelling in the tombs, and now he's completely healed, peacefully speaking to people in his right mind. It was all because of the power of Jesus. This power would transform that entire community as it still transforms us today. How has Jesus done great things for you? In Galatians this morning, you learn about how it all began for each one of us. That Christ Jesus, through whom we have been justified and declared righteous in the sight of God through his blood, we are declared sons of God, not slaves. We've been baptized into Christ Jesus. We put Christ Jesus on like a white robe which covers our sin, which covers us with his righteousness. We are adopted sons and heirs of God. Why? Because Jesus became man to redeem those who were under the law by becoming a curse for us. Christ was cursed for us, now we are blessed. Christ bore our sin, now we are declared righteous. This is the gospel, and it came to you in your baptism. And as I tell everyone in my instruction classes, that my baptism and your baptism is a past event and it's a present reality. I can say I was baptized in 1955. Now you know how old I am. But I can also say I am baptized right now. I am a baptized child of God. That is who I am. That is my identity. That's what defines me. The world doesn't define me. I don't define me. God defines me through Christ Jesus in my baptism. Think of all the things God has done for you and proclaim to others what the Lord has done for you. It's actually simple. Your coworker says, "I'm brokenhearted. My brother died." And you say, "My sister died. And this is how the Lord comforted me when I was dealing with her death, with that sure and blessed reunion in heaven." Another person comes to you and says, "I don't know what I'm going to do. I've lost my job. How am I going to provide for my family?" And you say, "So-and-so lost their job, and we helped, and we prayed, and God opened up another door and found the person another job, and God will provide for you." In very simple ways and profound ways, you can proclaim what God has done for you, and most importantly, that he has forgiven all of your sins, and that you have the sure hope of everlasting life right now. In conclusion, how we rejoice that Jesus is still coming into our city and countries right here where we're sitting today, healing us in body and soul. How we rejoice that through his death on the cross and his glorious resurrection from the tomb, he defeated Satan and continues to drive the demons out through preaching, teaching, baptism, absolution, and Holy Communion. We're going to return to our homes this weekend and tell others how much Jesus has done for us. Thank God those of us who had Christian fathers who could model for us the love of our Heavenly Father and mentor to us what God's love is like. Today we thank those fathers who worked, who fixed things, who loved us, who looked after us, who advised us, who mentored us, who cared for us, who disciplined us, and who prayed for us. For we are all sons of God through faith in Christ. The Father has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, so we cry what? Abba, Father. We're not slaves, we're sons and heirs of God. And so on this Father's Day, and on this day when we rejoice with the great things God did for this man and for you and me, let us proclaim and declare with loud voices and with words and deeds to our neighbors and friends how much Jesus has done for us. God grant this for Jesus' sake. Amen. May the peace of God that surpasses our human understanding guard our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.